Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Krisis is slightly ahead of us. We had a good go over Yontif where we were able to catch up a little bit, but we're still, let's just say for the time being, significantly behind. We are on daf Yidches, and we started yesterday the fourth parak of Krisis. Fourth parak of Krisis introduces us to the Karban Ashem Talui. Ashem Talui, if a person does an Avera, any one of the 34 Yisurim that would require to him to bring a Karban Chatas, but he wasn't sure. He simply was not confident that he actually violated the Avera. He's in a state of Suffolk, and he's unsure. So the Mishnah says he has to bring a Karban Ashem Talui. The Torah says he has to bring a Karban Ashem Talui. This Ashem Talui basically functions as a way of a stopgap measure. It's like plugging the hole, but it's not going to be a permanent plug. It'll just simply stop the Yisurin from coming. If he finds out for sure that he did an Avera, so then he'll bring a Karban Chata subsequently. More of this discussion is going to come up over the course of the fourth parak of Krisis. However, in the meantime, we are discussing what exactly is the threshold of Suffolk, meaning how much does he have to know with uncertainty that he violated an Isser in order for him to bring an Ashem Talui. So we introduced ourselves yesterday to the position of Rav. Rav said repeatedly that it has to be Chatichach Smishteh Chatichos. It has to be one piece from within two pieces. So if he had two pieces in front of him, Chalev and Shuman. Chalev is obviously the forbidden fat. Shuman is the permissible fat of an animal. And he ate one of those two pieces and he doesn't know which one he ate. So that is going to be the requirement in terms of, that's going to be the threshold of Suffolk in terms of now him having to bring an Ashem Talui. But if it's anything less than that, so he doesn't bring an Ashem Talui. So for example, let's say he had one piece, and within that one piece he was unsure whether it was Chalev or whether it was Shuman. So then according to Rav, he does not have to bring an Ashem Talui. In fact, then he can, not only does he not have to bring it, but he can't bring it because he didn't reach the threshold of Safek, and so therefore, if he brings it into the Beis HaMikdash, it's Chulin Bazara, meaning it's not required, and so therefore he cannot bring it. That's the opinion of Rav. Contrast that to the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, which we started introducing ourselves to yesterday, said, you know what? You don't need anything. All you need is a nagging conscience. And that would be enough to bring an Ashem Talui. So in other words, you wake up in the morning, you're just not feeling good. You have a little bit of anxiety over perhaps the fact that you did an Avera. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I'm not suggesting that that's healthy. In fact, it's probably very unhealthy to have that nagging anxiety. But Rabbi Eliezer said that would be enough. That would be sufficient to bring a Karban Ashem Talui. And how does it express himself? And Rabbi Eliezer says, Misnadev Adam Ashem Talui B'chol Yom. A person, if he wanted, could bring the Ashem Talui every single day, right? What happened between yesterday and today? Do you know that you violated anything? Do you even have a suspicion that you violated anything? According to Rabbi Eliezer, no. So, if you will, and the Gemara is going to use this language. We didn't see this yet in the Gemara, but just to give us a good understanding or a better understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, the Ashem Talui for Rabbi Eliezer serves much more like a Karban Nedava than it does a Karban Chova. Meaning, according to Rav, and seemingly the Mishnah agrees with Rav, although that's debatable. But according to Rav, Ashem Talui is much more structured. It's much more like a regular Karban Chova. There has to be a requirement, a liability. There has to be a certain threshold of liability. And then and only then can you bring the Karban. So it serves more like a Chova. As opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer who says, Misnadev Adam. Even the language itself, Misnadev. Misnadev sounds like Nadava. Meaning that if you want, you can donate. You can donate a Karban, an Ashem Talui every single day. So for him, the Karban behaves much more like a Nadava than it does a Karban Chova. Right? That seems to be, you know, I'm putting it in simple terms, but that seems to be the basic outline of the Machlokas. Now, why is there a requirement of Shtei Chatichos according to Rav? So this, we went through the Gemara yesterday, and the Gemara provided for us three explanations. Okay, explanation number one, just quickly review, and then we'll continue in the Gemara. Explanation number one was because of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that if a person violates mitzvos, kol mitzvos. Now, the way we read it is mitzvos. We read it in the plural, even though it's written mem tzadi vav tav, which could be pronounced mitzvos, which could be singular. So then we go on to the age-old question of what's more important, the way it's written or the way it's pronounced. again, they're both important. We discussed this yesterday. But in terms of darshaning, in terms of adducing halacha, what's more significant? Yesh eim lemikra or yesh eim lemesoret? So, Rav is of the position. The way it's read in the mikra, the way it's read, is going to have more significance. Since the Torah says the word mitzvos, so therefore I need to have more than one piece in front of me. That's one explanation behind this halacha that yishtei chatichas. The second explanation is that you have to be able to be mevarer iser, meaning there has to be a scenario in which I eat one of the pieces, and then with a little bit of investigation, I can determine whether or not I actually did violate the avera. So in other words, there has to be an act which could result in a definite karban chatas. So, if I only eat one piece, and there was only one piece in front of me, I'll never know what happened. So then you're not chayav. But if there's two pieces, one's mutter and one's aser, and you start off with those pieces of information, and then I eat one of the two, so then we could do a little detective work, and that's why I need two pieces. This is the third explanation that we saw yesterday, and that's what's called kviyas iser. Kviyas iser means that the iser has to have been there at one point or another. If the iser was not there, so then you don't have a kovea iser, you don't have kviyas iser, and so therefore you're not required to bring the the Ashim Taloi. Okay? Of those three positions, which one does the Rambam seem to favor? So I'll read the Rambam. Okay, which Misha Ayulafanov, this is the Rambam in Karbanos. And Perek Ches of the Rambam, Halacha Dala. Misha Ayulafanov, Sheikh Hatichos, Achas Shochel, Vachas Shoshoman, V'achal Achas Mehem. So if you have two pieces in front of you, one is chelav and the other one is shuman, and you ate one of the pieces, v'goy o kelav achal, I'm sorry, uvagoy o kelav achal sashnia, and then along comes a non-Jew, or a dog, and eats the second piece, osha achal goy o kelav asarishon v'aitzo v'achal sashnia, osha achal rishon v'zadon v'shnia b'shkaga, osha achal rishon b'shkaga v'shnia b'zadon. He goes through a whole bunch of scenarios, which we're going to see today in the Gemara, in the beginning of today's daf. Harei zechay ba'ashem talui. So you're required to bring a karban ashram talui, says the Rambam, hol v'hayashem iser kavua, or sham. Hol v'hayashem iser kavua, because the iser was kavua. Sounds like from the Rambam, and he pretty much says it, that he goes with this third explanation of Rav, that I need shtei chatichas, I need two pieces, because I need the kviyas iser, because I need the iser to have been fixed and established. Okay. All right, that's all the summary of what we did yesterday. We continue in the Gemara. Okay, we're on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, a second wide line on the page. Hayu lefanav shtei chatichos, achas shoshoman v'achas shachel v'aitzo v'achas rishona, ubal v'kocham v'achas hashnia. This all now sounds familiar because we just read this in the Rambam, but now we're going to read this inside in the Gemara. So there were two pieces in front of you. One was Shuman, the other one was Chelev. And along comes the Jew and eats the first piece, and along comes the non-Jew and eats the second piece. Chayav. Or you're obligated. Now, obligated over here means Asham Talui, meaning we're learning the fourth parak of Krisis now. So our whole world revolves around Asham Talui. So you're obligated to bring an Asham Talui. V'chein kela, v'chein orev. And it doesn't matter if it's the Naju who eats the second piece or a dog or a raven who eats the second piece. Ba'o v'kocham v'achas rishon ha'ba'isa v'achas ha'shniya ha'pater. V'rebi mechayev. Now, along comes a non-Jew and eats the first piece, and you come and you eat the second piece, so the Tanakhama says you're Patim, Rebbe says you're Chayev. Now, why are you Chayev according to Rebbe? So, we can go two ways over here. Meaning, we just read in the Rambam that, remember, for the Rambam, what's the whole motivation? I need two pieces, why? Because of Kviyas Iser. Here, did I have Kviyas Iser? Sure I did. Meaning there were two pieces out there. One of them was Chelev and the other one was Shuman. So I had it. So from the Rambam's perspective, it has reached the threshold because I had Kviyas Iser. There is a funny Rashi over here. It's not a funny Rashi, but if Rashi does not seem to agree with the Rambam, Rashi writes, Rebbe Mechayev, Delo Bai Beis Chatichos, because Rashi, in explanation of Rebbe, says, well, Rebbe doesn't require two Chatichos. Okay. Meaning he just simply doesn't agree with this whole requirement to begin with. Okay.
Because the second piece wasn't there when the Jew ate it?
Right. The second piece wasn't there when the Jew ate it, so it's only one piece in front of him. Right. And so Rashi explains, well, that Rebbe doesn't require that. Okay, so again, You could argue, and it seems like the Rambam argues with Rashi. In the meantime, we go on. Achal es harishona b'shogeg v'hashnia b'mezid. Let's say you eat the first piece b'shogeg. Okay? And the second piece you eat on purpose. Now, I know, he just went through a major shift in life, meaning, so that first piece, he didn't know any better, meaning he wasn't aware at the time that one was chalev and one was shuman, and by accident he wanted the pieces. And then, he then had a religiously weak moment. And then he said, you know what? I'm eating that second piece, bedavka. And he does so b'mezid. So chayev. So he's going to be obligated to bring an Ashram Talui. Now, obviously, for the piece that he ate deliberately, there's no carbon to talk about. Remember, carbon is only in a case of shogeg. So for that second piece that he ate, so there's really no carbon conversation to be had. But on the first piece, again, going back to where, he was in the program, so to say, he was on the reservation, so then he would have to bring in an Ashram Talui. What if he ate his first piece b'mezid? Meaning, he knows that there's chalev somewhere here, and he doesn't know which one it is. And he eats one of the two pieces b'mezid. It's a funny mezid. Meaning, I'm definitely going to eat one of these pieces, which happens to be chalev. But in other words, he knows what's going on. He knows that one of them is chalev, and he does a b'mezid. And the second piece he eats b'shogeg, meaning at that point in time, he wasn't really interested in violating an isser. He forgot, and he ate. So Pater Rebbe Mechayev. So again, Tanakam says Yipater, and again Rebbe says Mechayev. And again, according to the Rambam, the explanation behind Rebbe is you had Kviyas Isser, meaning the story started with two pieces. One of those two pieces was Chalev. Okay, good. Achal Shem B'mezid Pater Miklum. What if he ate both pieces of B'mezid? So then we know what the story is. He won't be obligated to any carbon. Achal shteim b'shogeg. What if he ate both pieces in a state of shogeg? Well, we know the story over there. Meaning, the story over there is, he ate chalev, for sure. One of those two pieces is chalev, and he ate both of them. Okay, so shteim b'shogeg, shteim b'shogeg, achal shteim b'mezid, patam miklum, shteim b'shogeg, shteim chayavim. Now, I'm sorry. If one person, I apologize. If one person eats both of them, so he'll be chayav karban chatos. But what if two people eat the two pieces? Meaning one per person. So now, each one of them is going to bring an ashram talui. Okay, shneim chayavim.
Huh? Both eating b'shogeg.
They're both eating b'shogeg. Okay. Now, so that's a correct question. So why would the second person need to bring an Ashram Talui? Hasheni lo min adin. Now, so explains the Gemara. The second one doesn't really need to bring it, right? Because think about it. The first one may have eaten chalev, may have eaten shogeg. Good. Now, when the second one gets there's only one piece. So we're down to one piece. Now, it's true, it may possibly be a piece of chalev, but it's only one piece. Okay, and in the case where the dog ate the first piece, or a non-Jew, or a raven, so that doesn't remove the kviyas isser. But if the Jew ate the first piece, so now I literally do not know when we get to that second piece whether it is or isn't isser, and it's no longer kviyas isser. The consumption of the Jew of that first piece removes the kviyas, as it seems. So now, explains the Gemara, the second guy doesn't really need to bring an Ashram Talui.
What do you say that this is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion?
Okay, you're ahead. You're one step ahead of me. So, Hashem Laman Adin, Elishim Ataomer, Pater Kavata Rishon Bechatas. So, the Gemara says, but here's the story though. Let's say we go over to the second guy and said to the second guy, look, you shouldn't have done that, but now that we're here, you're off the hook. Meaning, because you may have eaten chela, but it was only one piece. And remember, we have a general requirement that in order to bring a carbon Ashram Talui, there has to be two pieces, so you're off the hook. Okay. So now, everyone's going to come back from Beis Din that day, right? All the spectators, all the observers, and they're going to say, wow, first guy didn't have to bring anything. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, the second guy didn't have to bring anything. Oh, wait a second, let's think about that first guy for just a moment. That first guy's interesting. Because that first guy now ate maybe chalev, perhaps, And the second guy didn't have to bring anything. So people are going to start walking away from that saying, oh, the first guy is obligated. And not just obligated, first guy's got to bring a chatas. Meaning, again, this is now the public response. And they're confused, understandably. I know there was a piece of chalev there. I know both pieces were eaten. The second guy walked away scot-free. So the first guy must be obligated to carbon chatas. What else could it be? Again, that's the public understanding. So therefore they're both obligated. Hashem Talui. So at least the public can grapple, can somehow try to understand what's going on. Umanu. So the Gemara says now let's think about this some more. E Rabbi Minadinu. Now look, if we're going like Rabbi, remember Rabbi consistently has been saying, what do you mean? Both of them are chayv and Hashem Talui, the first guy and the second guy. Because Rabbi believes, as he's been saying now consistently, even if somebody or something ate the first piece, nevertheless, there's still going to be chayv and Hashem Talui on the second piece as well. And E Rabbanon, Mishum Dolo Nikva, Mishum Bechatos, Nehmele L'Sheni, Yaisi Chun La'Zara. And if we're going like the Chachamim, that doesn't make any sense. We're just going to point to the second guy and say arbitrarily to him, oh, you know what? Just because people are not going to know how to process this case, and people are going to walk away with a misunderstanding, so you know what? You, consumer number two, you'll bring an Hashem Talui. The Gemara says, what? You can't just point our finger at people and say, you bring an Hashem Talui. So the Gemara says, name of the Sheni, I see Chulin LaAzara. We're just going to simply say, you know what? Yeah, go bring Chulin to the Azara. Yeah, go ahead, it's fine. The Gemara says, I don't understand that. I'm Rav Ashi, so the Gemara provides an attempt for us to understand. Rav Lazi, Damer Mesad Deva, Damer Hashem Talui B'chol Yom. Heokach, Amin Alei, I see Hashem Talui V'Asnei. So the Gemara says, exactly as Ben just suggested, that the author of this Braisa is Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer says, you want, you can bring an Hashem Talui every single day. Misnadev. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Hashem Talui basically operates much more like a Nedava than it does a Chova. And so therefore, yes, we can point our finger to the second guy and say, you bring the Hashem Talui. I see Hashem Talui v'asne. You bring the Hashem Talui and you make it tonight and you make a condition. Look, if the first guy ate shuman and I'm the one who ate chalev, but I don't know for sure I ate chalev, but at least there's that possibility, so then I have my Hashem Talui. V'ilo lehavin adava. And if not, let the Hashem Talui serve as an adava. Right? Again, going back to what I said earlier, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Hashem Talui is really much more like an adava than it is a carbon chova. Tanu Rabbanan. Achal safik chalev v'nodalam. Safik chalev v'nodalam. Okay. We are now going to move on in the discussion of Hashem Talui in terms of how many Hashem Talui do you need to bring, i.e., breaking up the Hashem Talui. Now, you remember Karban Chatos. We spent a lot of time talking about this. The third perek was really a crash course in how to break up your Karban Chatoses. And basically, you need idea. You need knowledge in between one act and another in order to break up each action so that you have to bring a karma chatzis for this and for this. Okay, even if you repeat the same act. But if you have a idea in time, but if you have knowledge in between, so you're going to be chayv a carbon for each one. Okay. What the discussion now is going to be is, how much knowledge do you need in order to break up for Hashem Talui? Now, I don't know if this whole discussion works for Rabbi Eliezer, between you and me, because for him, you could bring an Hashem Talui on a hunch. So I'm not sure if this discussion really is geared towards Rabbi Eliezer. It seems to me, and again, just to me, I'm not sure if I'm correct, but it seems to me that this whole discussion really is more for Rav, where there's a real formality to the Hashem Talui, and so therefore we're going to now speak in legal terms. How much knowledge do I need in order to separate one Hashem Talui from another Hashem Talui? Tanu Rabbanan. Achal safek chelev v'nodalo. Safek chelev v'nodalo. Rabbi Omer ani. So Rabbi says, I say, right, we always have this language by Rabbi. Rabbi Omer ani, k'shem shemei v'chatos al kol ha'achas v'achas, kach mevi Hashem Talui al kol achas v'achas. It's broken up. Meaning those two actions are broken up, and just like by Karban Chatos, where Yedia serves to separate the two acts, so to over here, Yediyah, now Yediyah over here means what? Yediyah over here means, I think I ate Chalev. right? I possibly ate chalev. I found out that I possibly ate chalev. That now is going to be a demarcation. That will serve to separate this and this. Now, and he's going to have to bring two Hashem Talus. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein Mevi Al Hashem Talu Echad. Now, according to the opinions of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Lazar, Bi Rabbi Shimon, right? Yes. Not the Vav, but a base. So you only bring one Hashem Talu. Shinemar Ashigagas or Asher Shagag. Afilo Ashigagas Harbe, Enochayv Ela Achas. Even for multiple shkagos, meaning possible sins, I only bring one Hashem Talui. Okay, period. Good. So, we're going to focus a lot of attention right now to the position of Rebbe. Rebbe, what Rebbe's saying is not, it doesn't seem to be that caustic. It seems to be pretty straightforward. What Rebbe's essentially saying is, look, for the carbon chatas, you need a definite point of yediyah to separate one and one. So for an Hashem Talui, what would you need? A possible yediyah to separate one act and another act. Pretty straightforward. It's more like Rav, that there has to be a formal separation. I'm a Rebbe Zera. Kanshan a Rebbe Yediya Safik Mechalkos Achatas. Now, here we get to the I don't know about the exciting part, but definitely the intriguing part of this morning. What Rebbe Zera does is he takes Rebbe's position and he really runs with it. Meaning, Rebbe Zera says, what do you learn from Rebbe? What you learn from Rebbe is that possible yediyah, what we're going to call yediyah safek, what the Gemara calls yediyah safek, not only divides an Hashem Talui, two Hashem Talui acts, it will also divide two chatas acts. Okay, meaning, if I ate chalev, meaning not possibly ate chalev, I ate chalev, now, and then I repeat and I do the same, I do it again. Now remember, what do we say? That in order for those two actions to be divided, I have to have a yediya bein time. What we thought that meant, before Rebbe Zera was introduced in the Gemara, is that I have to be told, or discover, either way, I have to be told that I ate chalev. Okay. I now realized, oh my gosh, I ate chalev, what I did was wrong, and then I went back into my unawareness and I ate chalev again. That's what we thought. What Rebbe Zera now is introducing is the following. Even if I don't know absolutely, but somebody said to me, you know, I think you ate chalev, or you possibly ate chalev, that's enough yediyah to separate one eating of chalev and another eating of chalev. Meaning what Rebbe's doing for us is he's giving us a benchmark of how much yediyah you need to separate. Not just for Hashem Talui, but in general.
But before we said that if somebody told you that you did something that you brought your chatah and you say that I didn't, you don't bring your chatah.
Correct. Well, no, we're not saying you denied it. No one's here suggesting that you denied it. It's just that you don't know for certain. No one told you for certain that you ate chalev. Somebody comes over to you, or you think you ate chalev, when meanwhile you really did. And it wasn't even a suffix. But the yediyah that you received was not a definite yediyah. And what Rebbe Zera is doing is he's taking Rebbe's statement and he's saying, that's enough. That's enough now to separate one act from another act. Now, Rava disagrees. Rava Amar in Yediyah Safik Mechalkos Achatas Ela Hachikatani. Rava says to Rebbe Zera, you totally misread Rebbe. That's not what Rebbe meant. In fact, Rebbe meant the following: Hachikatani Kishem Shim Haisalo Yediyah Vaday Mevi Chatas Al Kolachas Vachas Kachim Haisalo Yediyah Safik Mevi Hashem Tala Kolachas Vachas. All Rebbe meant was is that they're going to be just like there's a benchmark of yediyah to separate chalev and chalev. So too, there's going to be a benchmark to separate possible eating a chalev from possible eating a chalev. But you got to keep those two separate. If it's chalev and chalev, I need to separate the two of them, a definite yediyah. If it's possible chalev and possible chalev, all I need to do is separate them is possible yediyah. But don't take the possible yediyah and then move it up to the case of chalev and chalev. That won't be enough. Okay. Amalei Abai v'alo tizbar yediyah safek mechalkas achatas yisak adach yediyah safek em mechalkas achatas v'chatas achas me. I'm sorry. The Gemara says, well, consider the following braisa, klal shadavar. Here's a general rule. Kosher chalukin b'chataos, chalukin b'ashamos. Right? The rule is, whatever divides by a chatas will divide by an asham. Right? And this supports Reb Zera. Because what we're basically reading over here is, whatever divides for one is going to divide for the other. So if Rebbe's teaching us that a suffix idea divides for Hashem Taloi, well, it's got to be the same. The same suffix idea will divide for Chelev as well. So Amalei Rabba Barchan La Abayi V'Liditcha Da'amar Gidiyah Suffix Mechalkot Zechatao Salamiyata Acho Kezayis Chelev Nei Yom HaKippurim V'Kezayis Chelev Acher Yom HaKippurim V'Yom HaKippurim V'Makam Hashem Taloi Kai Hachinami De'mevi Shtei Chataos Haba Elam Echad Achlinan. So he says, if you're right, consider the following. Now, I know I just read a lot of Gemara, but I'm going to explain as best as I can. Let's imagine you ate chalev right before Yom Kippur. Okay? Of course, unintentionally. But you ate chalev before Yom Kippur. And you ate chalev after Yom Kippur. So kezayis before Yom Kippur, kezayis after Yom Kippur. Okay. Not the best way to start the year, especially after all your sins have been cleared. But you ate chalev before and after Yom Kippur. Not possibly, definitely. Just b'shogeg. Okay. Now, you have to understand one thing in order to really appreciate the argument of the Gemara over here. How does Yom Kippur behave? What does Yom Kippur do? So Yom Kippur basically will be like an Ashram Taloi. Meaning any sfeikos that you have going into Yom Kippur expunges any possible Yisurim that you have. Now, if you ate Chelev B'Shogeg and you find out before Yom Kippur, does Yom Kippur replace your Karban Chatas? And the answer is going to be no. No. You're still on the hook for a Karban Chatas. Yom Kippur will be great and Yom Kippur will help you significantly, but not for that. You're going to have to still bring a Karban Chatas. But wait, just wait. Actually, the Gemara is going to discuss. But if you eat a full, I'm sorry, before I get to that, but what Yom Kippur basically does is, it behaves as if you brought an Asham Taloi. Any sfeikos going into Yom Kippur expunges. So what the Gemara is going to do now is it's going to consider that, you know what Yom Kippur is? It's almost like a suffix yediyah. Right? Meaning that if Yom Kippur is behaving like an Asham Taloi, it's as if we had an Asham Taloi brought between the act before Yom Kippur and the act after Yom Kippur. So it's as if, I know this is a little tricky in terms of understanding, it's as if Yom Kippur serves as a suffix yediyah. Now, what Reb Zera wanted to argue is that a suffix yediyah separates two acts. Not two possible acts, two definite acts. And he says, and according to Reb Zera, that's exactly what Rebbe meant. If that's correct, this is now the Gemara's attack on Rebbe Zera, you now are telling me that if I eat chalev before Yom Kippur, and I eat chalev after Yom Kippur, all in one state of unawareness, right, and it's only was separated by 2 days, okay? My meal right before Yom Kippur was a delicious piece of chalev. And my... and my break fast of Yom Kippur was another delicious piece of chalev. And all I had in between with them was Yom Kippur. You're telling me that because Yom Kippur serves like an Asham Talui, so therefore it's like a suffix yediyah, so therefore I should now be obligated to chatas for my pre-Yom Kippur meal and my post-Yom Kippur meal. That's what you're telling me. Even though it's Behala Mechad. Now, Amalei Abaye, Man Lemelan Yom Kippur Mechaper Al Dalom Misyadalei Demavuhu Demisyadalei. So the Gemara, so Abaye in defense says, well, maybe Yom Kippur only works for the averes that you find out about. But the Gemara immediately rejects, and Gemara says, Amalei Rava Hodav Lo Hodav Tanan. No, you learn the Mishnah. We will see the Mishnah later on. It's not true. Yom Kippur serves to expunge all Safek Yisurim, even the ones that you don't know about. So, okay. So, and the Gemara awkwardly ends the discussion right over there. Meaning, conversation over. Meaning, if you're right that a Suffolk Yediyah divides, so then you're going to walk into the very bizarre conclusion that if I eat chalev before Yom Kippur and I eat chalev after Yom Kippur, and it was Behal Amecha, but you're going to have to bring two karbanas. And it seems from the Gemara's very abrupt end to the discussion that that's too awkward a conclusion. Okay, Igadamri. Amle Rava Bar Chanla Abayim Yilu Achol Kizayis Chalev Shachris B'Yom HaKippurim V'Chazayis Chalev B'Mincha B'Yom HaKippurim. Now this is a slightly modified version of the discussion we just had. But in this modified discussion, we're eating Chalev on Yom Kippur itself. A little bit, not a little bit. A Kizayis in the morning. A Kizayis in the afternoon. Ha'chinami D'mechayiv Shei Chatas. Now you want to tell me that you're going to have to bring two carbon chatases? Again, the premise of the statement is based on the same thing that we just mentioned earlier, that Yom Kippur basically takes the role of an Asham Talui. So therefore, Yom Kippur divides the two acts. And so even though you only had one halama, you had one state of unawareness. So the Gemara again makes a suggestion, which it pretty much immediately will reject, and that is, in order for Yom Kippur to have its effect, you don't need a slice of Yom Kippur. Maybe you need the totality of Yom Kippur from the beginning to the end.
Doesn't this guy owe two carbon chatas for each eating? One is for eating and another for eating chalev?
Right. Same issue bothered me as well. Maybe the case is, I mean, I'm going to say it, although it's weird. Maybe the case is where he knows it's Yom Kippur and he's amazed on eating on Yom Kippur, but he's a shogeg on eating the fact that it was chalev. Oh, okay, I know it's weird. But anyway, so Dimakuli Yom Meyarta Amalei Tanya Hare Shabali Yadu Safik Averbi Yom Kippur Mafilim Chashecha Pata Shekol Yom Mechapit. The Gemara immediately rejects, and the Gemara says, look, point blank, you don't need all of Yom Kippur to be Mechapir. A piece of Yom Kippur, the smallest fraction of Yom Kippur, is going to be Mechapir. For example, you ate right before Chashecha, right? Or not just eat, but any Avera. Any suffix of error right before Chashecha, Yom Kippur is going to be Mechaper. Okay. Mesiv Ravidi Bar Oven. Okay. Again, where are we right now? We are on the statement of Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says that the suffix idea, possible knowledge, divides. And not just divides Hashem Talui obligations, but will divide Chatas obligations. And the Gemara now is going to really work its way in terms of attacking Rebbe Zera. If you eat and drink in one halama on Yom Kippur, so you're only going to be chayv one carbon chatas. So again, the line of questioning is going to be the same. You ate, you drank. So you pause a little bit between the eating and the drinking. And again, Yom Kippur takes the role of an Asham Talui, which means that you had that Suffolk Yediya between the eating and the drinking. And according to you, Rabbi Zera, that should be enough to divide the two acts. So then you should be Chayav a Karman Chatas on the eating, and you should be Chayav a Karman Chatas on the drinking. So the Gemara answers, look, remember, this is all Rabbi Zera explaining Rebbe. You're quoting me a Braisa? Maybe that Braisa doesn't go like Rebbe. Maybe that Braisa goes like the Chachamim. The Gemara says, no, I'm not with you. Bahamid to say for Rebbe, he diktani, look, because we're going to read on in that Braisa. And the continuation of that Braisa is clearly going like Rebbe. Because it says, Shatsa Sira Morius Pater. If I drink fish brine, right, the stuff that the gefilte fish is pickled in, there's no better way to describe it. O Morius. So putter, if I drink that on Yom Kippur, you're putter. That's not really a drink. Meaning that's not something that people think to themselves, oh, I can't wait to drink that. That doesn't fall into the category of drink. So if he drinks on Yom Kippur, you're putter. Hachom, it's chayiv. But if you drink vinegar, you're chayiv. Now vinegar is also not something that people normally drink. But the fact that the example given over here is fish brine, it means that if we go up anything higher than fish brine on the drink department, meaning even if something as bizarre as vinegar, but vinegar is more of a drink than fish brine, so then you're going to be liable. Omani Rebbe, the Tanya Chomet Meshiv as a Nefesh, Rebbe Omer Ani, here we go again, Chomet Meshiv as a Nefesh. No, vinegar satiates the soul. Okay, now I don't know if this speaks to anyone here in this room, but the idea is that the author of the Brice is Rebbe. Umi the Sefer Rebbe, Reisha Nami Rebbe. And so, if the latter part of the Brice is Rebbe, that means the first part of the Brice is Rebbe. So the entire Brice belongs to Rebbe. And again, let's just quickly review the question. The Brice says that if I eat and drink on Yom Kippur, Behelam Echad, I'm Chayv one carbon chatas. But again, now, if this is Rebbe, there should be a division of the eating and the drinking. Why? Because we're talking about on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur takes the place of an Ashim Talui. That's like a Suffolk Idea. And so therefore, the two acts should be divided by that Suffolk Idea, at least according to Rebbe Zera, who's explaining Rebbe. And we just established that the entire authorship of this Brice is Rebbe. So Amri Sefer Rebbe, Reisha Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers, not very excitingly, but the Gemara answers, okay, second half of the Brisa belongs to Rebbe, first half of the Brisa is the Chachamim, and there was a shift in the Brisa from the Chachamim over to Rebbe. Another question. Esve Rava. Achal hayom, achal amachar, nana, yom nana lamachar, achal hayom, nana lamachar, nana, yom achal amachar. The Gemara goes through a series of cases where I eat and get hana and eat. What are we talking about over here? Me'ila. Right? You know, anytime we see the word hana'a, you know that the topic of the conversation is me'ila. Because by me'ila, there's a liability even if you don't eat. In other words, because me'ila is all about benefit. It's all about stealing. It's misappropriation. So therefore, if I eat a little bit today and get hana a little bit tomorrow, where if I put the two of them together, it makes the requisite amount, the shear. And what if I eat a little bit now, and 3 years from now, I eat a little bit more? So it's mitzvah if it combines. Remember, we already made this point by me'ila. Me'ila, there is no statute of limitations. There's no kidei achilas pras by me'ila, because it's not about eating. It's just simply about how much you steal. So it always stays on your record. So you steal a half a pruta 3 years ago, and you steal a half a pruta today. So the two combine now, where now you're obligated to bring a carbon. What carbon do you bring? You bring a carbon asham. Asham ilos. Shame and starfin ze im ze. So tamalama timol ma'al, riba. So the timol ma'al, the double language, is a ribui. It includes even this case as well. Now, 3 years later, now I understand there's no statute of limitation. But how many Yom Kippurs have you seen 3 years later? At least two. Right, possibly three. But in other words, you went through a Yom Kippur. Now again, according to Rebbe, and the Rebbe Zera's understanding of Rebbe, Yom Kippur is an Ashem Talui. It's like a Yediyah Safek. It should divide. Ha Kippur Allah Yom HaKippurim. So shouldn't Yom Kippur divide? Now, if we could just stop here for just a moment. The question of the Gemara over here is a little bit difficult to understand because we're no longer discussing the Chatas obligation. We're now discussing the Asham obligation, the Asham for the violation of the Isser of Me'ila. You could make the argument, we could suggest that maybe a carbon Asham does not operate the same as a carbon Chatas. Okay, the Gemara doesn't do that. Okay. One answer the Gemara says is Yom Kippur works to absolve and expunge, but only on Isurim, not on money, and Me'ila is fundamentally a money issue. Or the Gemara gives another answer, difficult answer to understand. Yom Kippur will be Mechaper for a full shear, not for a partial shear. Okay, that's difficult to understand. You're not correct. In other words, that's the svar. The rationale is, since you're not liable yet, so therefore Yom Kippur doesn't come to...
Analogy, you have somebody who dips in a mikvah, but right.
Correct. Very good. Very good. Okay, good. All right. So, we have spent nearly an amud of Gemara, talking about this statement of Rebbe and Rebbe Zera's takeaway from Rebbe. Rebbe says that just like Yediyah is mechalik for Karban Chatas, Suffolk Yediyah is also going to be mechalik. But what Rebbe Zera does is he runs with the statement and he says, a Suffolk Yediyah will be mechalik even for Karban Chatas. Okay. V'chein amareish lakish, kanchan a Rebbe, Yediyah Suffolk mechalkos achatas. And who's in Rebbe Zera's corner? He's got Reish Lakish. Okay, so now we can lump together, Gemara does, Rebbe Zera and Reish Lakish. They both agree that a Safek Yediyah is a threshold, is enough to divide two acts. Not just two possible acts, but even two definitive acts, the Safek Yedia will divide. Now, who disagrees with Reish Lakish? You guessed it. His brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Yediyah Safek Mechalkos Achatos Elahachi Ketani, and he goes to explain Rabbi the same way we already did. Kishem Shim Haisalo Yediyah Vaday Mevi Al Kolachas Vachas Kachim Haisalo Yediyah Safek Mevi Alshem Tole Kolachas Vachas. All Rabbi meant was that just like by a definite Yediyah will divide Chatos, a possible Yediyah will divide Alshem Tole. That's all Rabbi meant. He didn't mean that a Safek Yediyah is a Mechalek for everything. Now, Bisham le Rav Yochanan, Hani dekatan l'ashem bechatas. Now, for Rav Yochanan, the wording of Rebbe works out very good because he's comparing an asham to a chatas. Ela Reish Lakish chatas b'asham ibayilei. But from Reish Lakish's standpoint, shouldn't we be comparing the chatas to the asham talui? Meaning, if the benchmark of yediyah is suffic yediyah, so we should be saying that chatas is just like asham, and that all you need is a suffic yediyah, right? That should be the asham talui really is the benchmark, and the comparison should have been from the chatas to the asham. So Kasha, the Gemara says you're right. The wording of Rebbe is not so clear according to Reish Lakish. And the truth of the matter is, the Gemara could have asked this question back on Rebbe Zera. Okay. Rami read the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rami the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara thinks that there's inconsistencies. Inconsistency in Rabbi Yochanan and inconsistency in Reish Lakish based on the following rulings of the two of them. Ditanya. Okay, one of our favorite cases that the Gemara goes through a number of times, we've seen this in Pesachim, we saw this in Shavuos as well. In fact, this is a direct quote of the Gemara in Shavuos. And that is you walk down two paths. Now, one of the paths that you walk down has a mace, has a human remains. And so, by walking down both paths, you for sure came into contact with the mace. You happen not to know which path has the mace on it, but one of them does. So, Shnei Shvilin, Echad Tameh ve'Echad Tamor, or one path is Tameh, the other path is Tahor. V'halach b'rishon v'lo nechnas, b'sheni v'nechnas. You go down one path. Fine, you walk down the other path, and now you walk into the Beis HaMikdash. All right, what are you going to say? You have no defense. You're for sure Tamei. You walk down both paths. You walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and let's assume that the person's a good guy, just forgot that he was Tamei when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. He is now, he's Chayav HaKarbon, Karbon Chatas, for having walked into the Beis HaMikdash while in the state of Tumah. Had he done so b'mezid, that's a violation of, that's a karis violation.
All of Yerid, right?
Huh?
All
of Yerid. Achat is all of Yerid. Right? Yes. And the parshas Vayikra. So, lo nechnas b'shem nechna chayev. Halach b'rishon v'nechnas. Okay? He walks down the first path, and then he walks into the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Certainly not chayev karmen chatas. Maybe an Hashem Talui. Okay, but now skip the parentheses. V'hiza v'shana v'tava. He then sprinkled himself with the paraduma. Shana over here means he repeated the sprinkling because remember, the paraduma requires day 3 and day 7. He tovels in the mikvah as is the requirement on day 7 after the sprinkling. So now he's clean. Now when you say clean, by the way, pure, meaning he wasn't even sure if he became Tamei to begin with, but if he did become Tamei, he's good. And then he walks down the second path, and then he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. Chayev. So now he's going to be liable. Now.
The second path
Now. You got to think about this. Meaning, because when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash the second time around, did he, was he Tameh? Maybe. So why Chayev? Why is the ruling over here chayev?
There was nothing to clear by that. You don't know.
He doesn't know. But, okay, because when you look at the total picture, he at one point in time, he definitely was Tamei when walking to the Beis HaMikdash. Because look, he walked into the Beis HaMikdash twice, once after the first path and once after the second path. Even though he purified himself between path number 1 and 2, but he walked into the Beit HaMikdash after each pass through one of the passes. If you look at the totality of the story, he for sure became Tameh and walked into the Beit HaMikdash. We just don't know when exactly it happened, either one or two. Now, Rabbi Shimon Poter Bazu. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, you're going to be Poter. Look at the top Rashi on the page. Why? Vishnei Tumus Ninhu. Akolchad v'chad k'nisa ikal ameimar shvilzei hi atohor. V'hilkach leka yediya v'adais. Because what you don't have over here is definitive knowledge. Meaning, in order to be chayav a karban chatas, you need definitive knowledge. He doesn't have it. Meaning, at the end of the day, I know you could piece the story together and say he was definitely tummy when walking to the Beit HaMikdash, but you don't know when that happened. And at no point did he have definite knowledge that he violated an isser, and you need yediyah v'adais, you need definite knowledge.
There be like a sveka here? Yeah. Meaning that because he went in the mikvah the first time, there's a doubt that whether he did it, he was tummy or not.
Okay, interesting. I'm just going to go with the conventional explanation, but it's definitely interesting.
Well, the first part, he had Hashem tell you, no?
Right. It could be you're right. The Bryce is not interested in the Yashem Talui discussion. The Bryce is more interested in, does he bring a Karban Chatas, a definitive Karban Chatas?
Yeah,
you may be right about the Yashem Talui. Fine. But the Bryce's main interest over here is, does he bring a Karban Chatas? And the right now, that's the Machlokas. Tana Kama says he does, and Rabbi Shimon says he doesn't. And the explanation behind Rabbi Shimon is, because he never had Yediyah Vadais. And now, listen to this. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda poter bikulan mishum Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon. I know that's a little confusing, but he says you're going to be poter in every one of the cases. Every one of the cases. What? Everyone. Let's go back to that first case. You're going to be poter in that first case as well. What was that first case? You walk down path number one. You walk down path number two. You then walk into the Beit HaMikdash. You're going to be poter? That's crazy. Meaning, now you know, because you walked down both paths, now you know your tummy. You may not have known which path caused the tumma, but you know that one of the paths had tumma. You know you walked down both of the paths. So, even in that case, you're going to be pater. And that's the Gemara's question. So, the case is as follows. You walk down the first path. And then you walk down the second path. And while walking down the second path, you forgot that you walked on the first path. Meaning, you were thinking as you walked down the second path, look, I've got a 50-50 shot. Right? Because he didn't remember at the time that he walked down the first path. In reality, he did, but he didn't remember at the time. Where the Tanakhama is of the opinion that mixas yediyah, even though he had partial knowledge, that's considered knowledge. And Rabbi Shimon says that mixas yediyah is lav ki yediyah damya, that partial knowledge is not considered knowledge. Now, Amar mar, halach berisha v'nechnas v'hiza tava v'halach b'shem v'nechnas chayev. Amai chayev. Alohav ala yediyah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, there was no yediyah. How could you be liable? Karban chatas and Rish Lakish, Hamani Rabbi Shmuel he the lo by yediyah betchila. This is authored by Rabbi Shmuel, who does not require yediyah in the very beginning. This goes back. This takes us back to the world of Shavuos, where Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion. Remember the first sugya in Shavuos. I vaguely remember, to be honest. Rashi refreshed my memory, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't need a yediyah in the beginning in order to be. In order to be chayev a on tumas mikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Tim Rabbanan Kanasu Safik Yediyah Ki Yediyah, and Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't need to get to Rabbi Yishmael. Just a simple idea that a Safik Yediyah is going to be like a Yediyah. That's Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Now, Saka Datka. Now the Gemara telegraphs its punch that Kanasu Vehu Adin L'Chol HaTorah Kula. Meaning, over here it's a Safik Yediyah, possible Yediyah. And that means that Rav Yochanan feels that way, Chol HaTorah Kula. For the entire body of Torah, Safik Yediyah is like a Yediyah. And so now therefore, Kashi de Rav Yochanan, Kashi de Reish Lakish, de Reish Lakish. And now it comes out that Rav Yochanan's explanation of the case over here is that he had possible Yediyah, that's enough. That already hits the threshold. Reish Lakish says Safek Yedia is not enough. And that seems to directly disagree with our discussion of Safek Yedia vis-a-vis what divides two acts. Now, Bishlam de Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yochanan lo kasha, kanasu avar b'chol ha-Torah kula lo. Now, for Rav Yochanan, we don't have to, it's not even an issue. Why? Because time ha-acha gabi tumak sivan elami menu v'hu tameh, yedia di'isbe nami safek chayev. Chayev Kra. Because in the world of Tumas Mikdash, the Torah goes out of its way to say he doesn't need to know for sure. If he possibly knows, that will be enough. The Torah says, Vinela Mimenu, he's unclear, the Tame, and he's Tame. So you see that in the world of Tumas Mikdash, there is a much lower benchmark in terms of how much knowledge you need. Less than what you normally need by all other Isurim. But by any other Isser, you need not possible knowledge, you need definitive knowledge. Good. So for Rav Yochanan, we're just simply looking at the Pesukim and saying, look, for the rest of the Torah, you need definitive knowledge. For Tumas Mikdash, a partial knowledge is all you need. So the Gemara says, but for Reish Lakish, here's the part that I'm troubled by. For Reish Lakish, when he was asked about this brisa, where you don't need definitive knowledge, all you need is partial knowledge. So what was Reish Lakish's response? That goes like Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara says, goes like Rabbi Shmuel, Reish Lakish. Right? Didn't you explain Rabbi the same way Rabbi Zera explained Rabbi? That all you need is a partial knowledge, and partial knowledge is like real knowledge? So why don't you just simply say the brisa goes like Rabbi? So the Gemara says, again, bonus, exactly, that Rabbi Yishmael agrees with Rabbi. Hamasisani did none. Rabbi Yishmael Amar v'nalam shtei pa'am l'chayv al helam tumas v'al helam mikdash. Itzarech. The Gemara says, even though we already know that, and even though we already know that from a Mishnah, I still need Reish Lakish to come along, because saka dat chamina mikre leislei migamar islei. That it's not based on a pasuk, it's just simply based on a tradition. Kamash wants to, what he wants to tell us is that it's not only a tradition, but it's also a pasuk as well. Okay. Big discussion that we just finished off in the Gemara over here about possible yediya. Is that considered like full knowledge or not? So, Rebbe makes a statement. Seems that Rebbe holds that possible yediya is like real yediya. And the Amoraim debate, Rebbe Zeir, Reish Lakish say that even according to Rebbe, possible yediyah is like full yediyah, whereas Rav Yochanan disagrees. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Rav Tzakash Baruch Hu, Zakzor Ficha, Chibam Torah Mitzvah Shenemar, Nai Chafetz Amantziko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.